All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, February 26th of 2026. Looking ahead here, we already had some League of Legends, tennis, and PGA action get underway this morning. Good luck to all of you playing those slates. For the rest of the day, we have a 9-game NBA slate and a 12-game NHL slate. So, should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen. We did have some questions come in prior to the show today, so we will start there and then kind of see what additional questions roll in. So, first question of the day. Hey, Andrew, I've noticed that when there's an NBA slate of five or less games, my results are better versus a slate of seven or more. By chance, do you have any tips / suggestions on how I can improve my results on bigger NBA slates? Good question. Tough question. You know, from my perspective, right, I don't think they play that different. I think that two game slates, so this is kind of like the brackets I would put them in. I would say showdown, right? Single game slate is like in its own kind of world. I think that two game slates are not that far away from showdowns, because often like a two game slate, you're going to need something very close to the optimal lineup to win. Not maybe the true, but very close to it, right? A lot of shared players in the optimal versus like winning lineups on a two-game slate. And then kind of as the player pool grows, right, as the number of games on the slate get bigger from that point on, I personally think that the slates kind of feel a little bit similar. Now, I think what is important to understand, as there are more games on the slate, there effectively become more and more winning lineups. You know, there are going to be more combinations of players that can help you win. So you don't need to be so perfect as the slates get bigger. It's kind of like how in like baseball, you know, you like never need an optimal lineup to win in baseball. So what you try and do is you try and capitalize on correlation by stacking teams. You know, the true like optimal lineup is never like some huge five stack, right? It's like one or two guys here, one or two guys here, you know, a player here, a player there, right? But the idea is that, well, in baseball, it's so hard to know who is going to do good that what you want to do is you want to try and capitalize on correlation, right? It's kind of the thinking there. In NBA, I think what you can do is, as there are more games on the slate, you can play a little bit safer and potentially use some heuristics to help you, right? Heuristics are general kind of rules of thumb that are like mostly correct, but not kind of always correct, right? As the number of games on the slate grow, I think you can consider using some things like that, right? I think one thing is like if you come in and you sort by value, okay? I come in and I sort by value. We see one, two, three Chicago guys. We see one, two, three Dallas guys. We see one, two, three Utah guys, right? I think it's okay to come in here and set a rule that says something like, hey, group auto use no more than three players group by team. This is a very common NBA heuristic. The idea is that there's only so many fantasy points available to go around in an NBA game. If one person is shooting, that means another person on their team is not. So it's not like baseball, right? Going back to baseball where it's like, well, if one guy gets a hit, that extends the game, right? There is no extending NBA games. The time is always going down. And then there's no stoppages, kind of like NFL, right? Where incompletion or guy runs out of bounds or like things like that, right? Where the time kind of stops. You basically always have this like running clock in NBA, which means there's less time to score fantasy points. I think you can consider a rule like this. I think you can consider player pool filters, right? You kind of come in here and you look and you notice that basically all these players and even the value players are above 19 fantasy points, right? Well, if I sort by projection and then I scroll down, you know, there are players under 19 fantasy points getting some amount of ownership. And you know, maybe you want to avoid these players, right? Yeah, maybe you add it up. It's like 5% total, but those are maybe 5% of players you don't want to play. So then maybe I come in here and then I set a filter. I just have this 17 one made and I'm going to say, hey, I don't want to consider players under 17 fantasy points. I could tick it up if I wanted to, right? I could go up to, 18, 19. I'll do a new one here. Show players with my proj greater than 19. And I just name it. My point is like filters rules get safer as the slates get bigger. So it's okay to use them to protect yourself a little bit. So a filter like this would be okay. I wouldn't mind it. Sim diversity is already kind of coming down on these bigger slates. I think that's okay. If you wanted to favor projections more, right, you could consider trying to drop it down another tick or two. Not something I'd probably recommend, but it is like an option, right? If you are using custom projections or you're making projection adjustments, then I would consider, hey, how much do you trust your projections? How much do you trust your adjustments? If you trust them a lot, well, why don't you bring this down, one or two ticks to favor your averages more in the event that they are correct, like you're implying. So I think that these are all some things you could do. Min salary might be another one, right? Hey, the default's 48,000. On a big slate, I think I can be a little bit safer and increase my floor, right? Projection and salary are correlated. So by setting this projection floor the projection filter, by increasing my salary, my min salary, right? I'm going to push myself toward higher average projection lineups, and this could be a safer thing to do as the slates get bigger. So those are three things I would consider if you want to do some things in the app on some of these bigger slates. All right, good one there. Next question, can you demonstrate how I can set rules to avoid having too much overlap of two players in the same lineup? What I'd like to do is be able to specify exposure percent to each player and control what percent of lineups include both players. Okay, so as far as rules go, right, you mentioned rules here. Rules are effectively all or none. It is 0% or 100%. So like, let's say I come in here and I'm going to look at for a team with like two high price players, maybe Philly, right? Okay, I have Maxey and I have Embiid here. And maybe I only want one of them most of the time, right? Well, I could set a rule and I would say group manual, use no more than one. And then I would choose Maxey and Embiid. So this will effectively make it so I never get either of them in the same lineup, right? Again, this is a 0 or 100% endeavor. I can set this. I will never get them. If I leave it off, the builder is going to give it to me at the rate that it perceives to be correct. There is not a way to say, give me 35% of my lineups that include both of these players. That just doesn't exist in the app currently. I think what you can do if you want to do such a thing is run separate builds. So let's say I need to build 20 lineups, right? And I don't want more than 50% of my lineups to have both of those players together. Well, then what I would do is in build one, I would build 10 lineups. And I'm just going to use Unique's one because it'll be faster. Okay, so I'm going to go and I'm going to turn on that rule. Manuel, use no more than one. Maxi Embiid, save. Save that. And then I'm just going to generate, I think 200 lineups will be fine for this. All right, so I'm kicking a build. And we're just letting these lineups run. Running a little bit slower because I have the rule, but I just needed 10 lineups, so we can just stop this early. It's okay. Oh, and I have the filter on. That's all right, too. Okay, so I run this build. My lineups are loading up into my group right now as the Sabre score calculates. Okay, great. So my lineups load. Here, right, I can see I have a lot of lineups with Maxi right out of the gate, but none of them have Embiid, right? See, Maxi, no Embiid. None of these have Embiid. So it's doing everything I want it to do. Great. You know, now that I've done this, what I want to do next is I want to take these 10 lineups and I want to combine them with the other 10 lineups I run where this rule is off. So what I want to do is I want to utilize the favorites tab. So what I do is I click the bookmark for lineup one. That is a bug that only happens when I don't have an entry file uploaded. All right, let's let this diversifier finish. Okay, so I still have that one lineup bookmarked. Then what I do is I scroll down to the bottom lineup and I hold shift on my keyboard and then I click the bottom bookmark. It automatically sends all of the lineups within this group to the favorites. I stopped at 7 because you can't really see 8, 9, 10 because the question's in the way, but I'm just going to manually add those. So great. So I have 10 lineups. I know this isn't happening. And then what I would do is I would go and do the same thing. I would go to a new build. I would leave the rule off. I'm not going to turn it on here. Build my next 10 lineups or my next set of lineups. Take 10, send them to the favorites. Now I have 20 lineups where I know I have controlled the exposure of these two players together. That is the best way to do it in the app currently. So if that is something you want to do, that is how I would handle it. All right. Next question. Should I be running a separate build for each contest that I'm in for the contest sims so that the ownerships are changing? Single entry 150, 20. I am confused on what the Portfolio Plus is doing. Seems as if it's not my top ROI lineups. Okay. Good question. So I do not think you need to run a separate build for all of your contests. What the user is asking about in terms of ownership is they're asking about the my own column, okay? So yes, let's assume exactly like you said, you're playing a single entry, you're playing a 20 max, you're playing a 150 max. So the ownership here in the my own is set to flagship MME by default. However, that is not the ownership that all of your contest sims are using, okay? Each contest sim is using the ownership of the bucket it belongs to, okay? So here, right, if you go to the contest tab, you can see that, hey, the Mega 8s is using the high stakes 20 max. The $15 150 max is using the flagship MME. The, where's the single entry? The $100 single entry is using the high stakes single entry, right? So when you sim, it's using whatever is in this field lineups column. It is not using the my own, okay? So even though my own says flagship MME, that is totally okay. What the my own source is used for, okay, we'll go back to this lineup, this build where we already created lineups. We'll go back to this one. And we'll let these load back up. Okay, so the my own values, these get used for any filters that you set. If I had set a filter, for example, that said show players with my own greater than one, right? It's going to look in the my own column and it's going to set a filter based on the flagship MME ownership, okay? So it would be used for filters. It would be used for rules. If I said use at least one player whose my own is less than 10%, right? If I wanted to like work in some low owned player here, it would look like this with this requirement section. Again, the my own would be used for that. The my own would also be used for post build filters, and the values in the my own are used for the ownership sum that you see here on the side. So all of those things are what the my own column impact. At no point does the my own source impact your contest sims. All of the sim settings belong in the contest tab. So as long as you don't change anything over there, there is no impact. So you don't need to worry about changing this source. Oh, I forgot one thing. It does impact the leverage. So here what we're doing is the leverage is the exposure minus the my own. So right now it's 70 minus 46 for Sensibaugh for 23%. If I change this to high stakes single entry, Sensibaugh goes up to 78% ownership. Now my leverage updates and now it is negative. Okay. So that would be another thing that the my own impacts is the leverage calculation. Okay. So that's what's going on with the ownership buckets. Then as far as, yeah, the second question here, I'm confused on what Portfolio Plus is doing. It seems as if it's not my top ROI lineups. So it's not all of your top ROI lineups. That part is correct. So we're going to demonstrate this with Portfolio, which uses Sabre Score, but the concept is going to be the same whether or not you are using ROI or whether or not you are using Sabre Score. Okay. So I'm going to come in here and I'm going to look at the portfolio rank. Okay. I'm using portfolio. These are my top portfolio lineups. So notice that the Sabre scores are not in order. Okay. Our top Sabre score is 194. That one, the top Sabre score is always the starting point. From there, the builder will look at the lineups. It uses Sabre score as its source of truth here, but it determines, hey, which lineup that has a good Sabre score complements the lineup that came before. So in this example, SaberSim has decided that if we sort by Sabre score down, it goes 194, 93, 86, right? But when we sort by portfolio, SaberSim has determined that the 52 the lineup that has a 52 Sabre score complements the lineup that has a 194 Sabre score better than all the other lineups. So it effectively skips the 93 Sabre score, which is a higher Sabre score, in favor of the 40, in favor of the 52, because in the sim, those lineups played better together. So it doesn't ignore that, right? Then it goes to 93. Like, hey, you know, yeah, we use the 52, but the 93 is still good. That we should use the 93 after the 52. And then it continues to do that. So all of these lineups are positive Sabre score. All, you know, the Sabre score is still valuable, but the portfolio optimizer is much more intelligent and it doesn't just brute force give you top down highest to lowest Sabre score. It basically solves which lineups are the best to play together and then gives you those. So you're right. That is not just giving you the highest to lowest, but it is giving you a strong set of lineups that play well together. So that is what the portfolio optimizer is doing, but very good clarification question there. All right, so we find ourselves in the middle of a build demo here. A lot of the things that we would normally do in a build demo. We have already done. We've made some adjustments to any pre-slate settings, that any pre-build settings that we wanted, salary, rules, filters, if that is something you like to do. We ran some lineups. We're in the post-build. We're using portfolio. That's great. We have some aggregate metrics, projection and Saber score are a couple that I like to lean on, especially on the starter package. Then we get into the table. We sort by exposure here. If you are primarily playing a certain type of contest, right? If you're on Ultimate and you have access to all of the ownership buckets, and let's say you primarily play low stakes 20 max, I think it's okay to come in here and switch that source. Like, hey, this is my primary source. I want to analyze the leverages based on those ownership projections, kind of going back to the earlier question. I think that's totally okay. I think that's like a completely fine thing to do, and I wouldn't think twice about doing it. If you want to leave it on Flagship MME, or if you're on Starter where Flagship MME is your primary source, again, that is going to cover that's like our most common ownership umbrella to use there. So I would use that bucket. Now, coming in here, analyzing the leverages, I like to sort leverage high to low. I like to sort leverage low to high, see who we are taking stands on and then taking stands against on the opposite end there. Looking at our top exposures. Sometimes we did this earlier, but I like to come in and sort by value. Hey, what teams are kind of popping here? You could do some additional research, go in and look at the teams and say, hey, you know, are there a lot of players out for this team? And like we go to Utah and we see a bunch of out statuses over here on the side. And we see players with 8,200 salary, 7,900 salary, right? These players open up a lot of usage for lower salary players on the team. So like that would make sense to me. Again, just like doing some QA, making sure everything kind of lines up and makes sense in your lineups, which normally does, but nice to have some peace of mind there. Once I'm happy, once I'm satisfied, I would save these lineups. I would download them from the upper left here and I would be ready to upload them to my contests. So that is a slate demo for the NBA 9-game slate tonight. We also demonstrated how to use favorites earlier as well. Knocked out a couple questions, and I think we are all set. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.